And on Quick Slam this morning, I'm joined by Arthur Knott Hopkins here on this first Monday of the month. He is an area service officer for the Missouri Veterans Commission. We always learn the latest from the VA, and good morning to you.
Good morning.
Unpiling after a little time off, huh?
Yes, I took last week off, so I'm expecting my phone calls when I get to the office to be overwhelming.
There you go. So be patient. He'll get with you. He has office hours in both Randolph and Macon counties. Let's just start with that, Arthur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Moberly on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Normally from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. is when I see clients. And my phone number there is 660-263-4960. And I'm in Macon on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Normally I see clients from 9 to 3. And my phone number there is 660-385-6192.
And as we move along here in the course of this conversation, the next 15, 20 minutes, we do have open phones. If you have a question related to the VA, you can give Arthur a call. He'll take a shot at it. 263-2424. Or you can call 800-892-2300. Last time you were in, you mentioned some changes regarding the pension program, and let's just pick up on that. What types of changes are we talking about?
I'll start with the good news.
Okay.
The VA has issued a cost of living allowance effective December 1st. It's a 2.8% increase. So for a veteran who's receiving pension, I believe that equals about $400 a year. It's not a big increase, but any increase is a good increase.
Better than a decrease.
Yes. The next thing is something that's been in the news a lot, and I'm sure it will continue to be in the news, is the change to the pension rules. Now, I'm going to talk mostly about just veterans' pension. These rules do apply to the surviving spouse pension as well, but it's just going to be simpler just to stick with the numbers that go with the veterans' pension. Now, pension, it was designed to help keep the income level of veterans or their surviving spouse at a certain level. Now, that is based on income and assets. Effective October 18th, 2018, the VA put some changes into effect that there are pluses and minuses for it. The first thing that's a plus is they've raised the amount of assets that a person can have. It used to be if you had $80,000 in assets, that's the maximum that you could have. You couldn't have more than that. Now, what they counted as assets was something that was easily convertible to cash, such as CDs, savings, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, IRAs. Those things are what they considered as assets. They didn't consider your house. They didn't consider your vehicle or clothing. If you had acreage, they did consider that as an asset, and they would look at the approximate value of that. So that used to be you could have up to $80,000. Well, now this rule went into effect October 18th, and it's already changed once the amount. From October 18th through December 1st, the amount you could have with your assets and your income combined, annual income, was $123,600. As of December 1st, that amount has increased to $127,061. So this rate will change every year. It's based off of some other federal number that they use that's linked with Medicaid. So that number of what the assets can be with the income is going to change every year. Part of the reason why the VA did this is there were a lot of people who were transferring assets to hide them, to use the VA's terms, to qualify for the benefit. The whole purpose of this program was to help keep people above a certain level. It wasn't meant to protect assets. It wasn't meant to have assets available for children's inheritance or anything like that. It was just to give a certain standard of living for the veteran, his spouse, or if he is deceased or she is deceased, for the surviving spouse. So I'm going to start with a veteran with a spouse. His maximum income is allowed to be $17,724. That's annual income. If his income is below that, then he will most likely qualify for pension. If his income is above that, then we look at the medical expenses, and if we can reduce what is counted as income for VA purposes, that below that amount of $17,724, then the veteran and his spouse would qualify for the pension. Part of the reason the VA started this change, they've been talking about it for years. It was recommended to them, but they couldn't figure out how to implement it. There are over 200 agencies in the United States that exist specifically to help people move their assets to qualify for VA pension or other government programs. And that puts a significant drain on our tax dollars. So the VA wanted to get more in line with the way other federal agencies were doing it to try to make sure that the benefit is going to those people who actually need the benefit, not those who have assets that they could use to pay for their living expenses. So what the VA has done is they've created what they call a bright line rule. And that is looking at the annual income and looking at the assets, and then they use that to determine, minus the medical expenses, and they use that as the net worth. That's what that number is that I was talking about. The net worth is $127,061 as of December 1st, 2018. So they will take that amount, and again, that is income plus the assets that are counted minus the medical expenses, and that's where that number comes in. Now, before, the VA would look at your home and they allowed up to 5 acres. They did not count that. If you had more than 5 acres, they counted the additional acreage. They wanted the approximate value. The VA has made it a little bit stricter when it comes to the property. They now say that a residential lot is an area that consists of the home and it's not bigger than 2 acres. So if there's more than 2 acres attached to the home, then we have to figure out what the value is. As far as we're able to determine, they're not saying that you must go get an appraisal, that you're paying someone to do an appraisal for the property, but it does say you have to give a fair market value for that property. And you would list that. You would list how many dependents and the size of your lot. Now, a lot of people have been saying, my coworkers have been saying, how are we supposed to determine the size of the lot? Well, if you get your deed, that tells you the size of your lot. Most counties will give you a copy of your deed. If you tell them it's for VA purposes, they may give it to you for free. Otherwise, it may cost a small amount. I think Randolph County charges $1 for a copy of your deed. As long as it's not a certified copy. Another change that happened is if you were to sell your home. If you were to sell your home under the old program, the VA counted the cost or the money that you received from selling your home as income, and they divided that over 12 months. Under the new program, it's not counted as income, it's counted as an asset until you buy another home, at least for that first year. So I know that it's a little confusing, but it's actually to the benefit of the veteran, because I've had a lot of people who've come in who sell the home. When they sell the home, the VA counted that as income. That put them above the level where they would qualify. By using it as an asset now, it makes more people eligible. And the biggest thing that I see as the downfall for claimants is the look-back period. Medicaid has had a look-back period for several years. And now the VA, they've been looking at this, and they finally established that they have a 3-year look-back period. And a lot of people are worried about that. If they apply now, the VA is going to look back 3 years. The VA says no. They're only looking back as far as when the new rule went into effect, which was October 18th, 2018. So it won't be until 2021 that it will actually be a full 3-year period. So if assets were reallocated, were transferred, or moved prior to October 18, 2018, then it should not impact the ability to apply for the benefit. part of the reason why the VA did that is just because there were a lot of people. Like I said, there are over 200 agencies that exist in the United States specifically for moving assets to help people qualify for benefits. Another benefit to the new program is the medical expenses that the VA will count. It used to be that the VA would only count if the person was in skilled nursing care or in assisted living. Well, now the VA has expanded that they can count activities that are part of independent living, as long as they are still part of a medical expense, such as if they are providing bathing services or helping the person get dressed or providing meals. With independent living facilities, the new form the VA has allows for inclusion of that as a medical expense, whereas it didn't count it before. So it will make it a lot easier for other people to qualify who wouldn't have qualified before. Now, I know I've said a lot of stuff. I've probably put half of the audience to sleep.
There's a lot to that there. Certainly, if anybody's got a question about what he just talked about, you can give us a ring here at 263-2424. Or you can give us a call at 800-892-2300. Why don't we catch our breath and we'll pick up on the other side of this timeout. It's Arthur Knott Hopkins on Quicksland This Morning.
Hi, this is Rachel from Little Dixie Regional Libraries, and I want to know who some of your favorite authors are. Do you love to read mysteries, romance, science fiction, westerns? The library has the books for you. Just browse our shelves or view our collection on the library catalog at www.ldrl.org. We have books for all reading likes and tastes. No time to come into the library? Check out our ebook collection online and download a book from our large collection of great books. And remember, all services at Little Dixie Regional Libraries are completely free.
You don't have to be a superhero to make a difference. Each time you donate blood, you help three people. Be a hero in your community by donating blood at the next Randolph County Blood Drive, December 6th at Central Christian College of the Bible between 2 and 6 p.m. This blood drive reminder is brought to you by MCS Office Equipment, KB Tire and Auto, A Stroke of Magic, Valentine Insurance Agency, and Domino's Pizza, all of Moberly.
All right, quarter before 9 o'clock, Area Officer for the Missouri Veterans Commission, Arthur Knott Hopkins with me. You can ask a question regarding pensions or anything else that may be on your mind here, 263-2424, or you can call 800-892-2300. I was asking you on the break, what about if you receive a retirement from the military?
Usually those people that I've worked with who retired from the military, their military retirement income is more than what they would qualify for under the VA. So usually their income exceeds the limit that the VA says is needed, or your income should be below. So most retirees do not qualify for pension, but they could still qualify for compensation. If they were in the military and were injured in any way or have lasting effects from their military service, they could still apply for compensation. And if the compensation gets to a certain rate, or I should say the disability gets to a certain rate, then it is possible for them to qualify for both their military pension and VA compensation payment. If they don't meet that certain percentage, then they just receive one or the other. The benefit for that is that the VA benefits are not taxable, whereas in a lot of states, a military retirement is taxable.
This is, it seems to me, a safety net.
Yes.
They don't want any of the veterans to fall on the hard times, I guess.
That's the intention. The pension program is meant to be a safety net, to use the term that you did, to help a person live at a certain standard of living. I remember back in the 80s when you would hear stories of people who were buying cat food instead of tuna fish because they couldn't afford tuna fish and the cat food was cheaper. This is to try to help people live a little bit better than that. The medical expenses, many of us, if you're not using the VA, you often have medical expenses, or even if you are and your income's higher, that can significantly drain what your available cash is every month. So if we get you enrolled in VA healthcare, we might be able to reduce what expenses you're paying for medical, and that gives more money that's available for daily living. Another thing that the VA added as far as medical expenses, instrumental activities of daily living. It used to be that only was medical expenses that a person would be able to use, but we can now use the instrumental activities of daily living, and that means independent living activities such as shopping, food preparation, housekeeping, laundering, helping manage finances, medications, and transportation for non-medical purposes. As long as the veteran or his spouse are paying for these items, then the VA will now consider them when it comes to a expense that will reduce what they count as income. We don't have any adult daycare facilities in our area that I'm aware of, at least. But in larger cities, they do have that. The VA will also now count the expense of an adult daycare facility as an expense that reduces what they count for income.
Does it get somewhat more complicated when you deal with veterans that are farmers?
Farmers are a large portion of people that I see, because a lot of them didn't put into Social Security Administration. So their income that they have that's available to them and upon retirement is much lower. So I have a lot of farmers who qualify who never realized they would. And that is it can be a big benefit for them. The VA allows, off the top of my head, I want to say $1,400 a month as far as income for a married veteran. And he might only have, between him and his spouse, he might only have $800. So if I can get them up to $1,400, that's a $600 increase a month. That's almost doubling what their monthly income is. And the VA, again, reimburses for those medical expenses. A lot of our farmers just have Medicare, or they're paying a large supplemental insurance to help cover their medical expenses. Between getting enrolled in VA healthcare and the pension program, if they qualify, it can significantly reduce what they're paying out of pocket for medical expenses.
You mentioned the veteran and his spouse. So if you're looking at assets, if the spouse is working, for example, is that then included?
Yes, it is. If the spouse is still working or has income from any other sources, the VA looks at the total household income. Even if there are dependent children that are at home and they are working or receiving income from any sources, the VA counts that. So everybody who's residing in the household, they count as income. The benefit to that, well, as counting the income is not necessarily the benefit, but the additional people, the medical expenses would also be counted. So if you have income from three people, you can count the medical expenses for the three people.
Okay. I'm thinking back to our last program, just my memory bank. Didn't you encourage continue to have some kind of a health care plan and health insurance plan too?
Yes, yeah. Yes. If you're enrolled in VA health care, I strongly recommend that you do not drop your Medicare Part B plan. Because a lot of people make the mistake thinking that VA healthcare is insurance. VA healthcare is not insurance, it's a provider. If you go to the VA, you will likely not have a bill. But if you end up having a situation where you go to a local emergency room and it is not a life-threatening condition where you would have died if it took you the time to get to the VA hospital, you will end up with that bill. If you do not have Medicare, you will have that entire bill to yourself. If you have Medicare Part B, if Medicare will pay a part of the bill, you will still have your deductible or your copay, whatever is still your responsibility. The VA will not pay that copay or that deductible. That is the veteran or his spouse's responsibility.
All right. Well, a lot of information here, a lot of change. What do you think the greatest impact? I mean, what are going to be the biggest questions that you have or that you deal with, you think, that are from what you've pointed out?
With the pension program, I see that there are going to be more people eligible than were eligible before. I do like the idea that we're going to see that number change annually, as it changes with other federal programs, whereas before, with the VA, it literally took an act of Congress to change the rates, to make a decision whether there's going to be an increase, to change the numbers that they count. Congress is the one who establishes the rules. The VA then has to figure out how to implement them. This, it's now written into the law that when these other numbers change, the VA numbers will change. So I think we're going to see more regular cost of living increases. I think we're going to see the amount of assets that a person can have continue to increase. And with that comes the income increase.
Very good. If you have additional questions or would like to have a sit down with Arthur Knott Hopkins, again, your office hours.
Okay. In Moberly, it's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the phone number is 660-263-4960. And in Macon, I'm normally there Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the phone number there is 660-385-6192.
And if you're calling, get an answering machine, leave a message.
Please. I can't return your call. I don't have caller ID. I can't return your call if you don't leave me a message. It will take me a little time to get back to your message, but I will eventually get to you.
Very good. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Arthur Knott Hopkins, my guest, area officer for the Missouri Veterans Commission.
If you missed the obituary